The White Sox blanked the Astros 4-0 last night, a first rough outing for Corbin Martin, who was not able to escape the fourth inning, allowed four earned runs. A.J. Hinch spent about a full minute on the mound when he took Martin out of this game.
I had a lot to tell him. I kind of just said it in the last 2 minutes, so maybe I said a few more things, but I walked him through a lot of why I was taking him out of the game. And, you know, you got to coach. I got to coach. And so I had plenty of time while Framber was running in.
So he spent about a minute. Here was
It was a nice conversation.
Yeah.
And from the tone there, it almost sounds like he was giving him a harsh talking to. He was giving him a very supportive talking to.
Martin gave his perspective on that meeting.
He was just telling me, I know you're frustrated and it happens, but he said he just wants me to focus one pitch at a time. And I think he's right. I started to think about the outcome before it even happened, and I can't let that happen.
This is where I really love A.J. Hinch. These are some of my favorite moments because a lot of times nationally people are like, what does a baseball manager actually do? Well, this is, I think, where A.J. shows a lot of his value. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that came out last night was A.J. talking about how Corbin Martin was basically letting a bad pitch affect the next bad pitch, affecting the next bad pitch.
Yeah.
And as someone who was obviously a catcher, so he worked with pitchers his whole career, I just feel like he provides genuine value teaching a young pitcher, especially who has some pressure being on a team of this caliber.
A catcher and a psychology major.
That's a fact.
In college.
From Stanford.
From Stanford.
But where Richard Sherman went.
A psychologist, so not a psychiatrist. So he actually wants to talk things through. Like, if he was a psychiatry major, he would have gone out and be like, you want some drugs?
Yeah. Here's some Ritalin.
Some Prozac, everything, whatever you want. Here you go.
Yes. You're 100% right.
And the one thing Hinch had mentioned was that Martin was just, he's rushed. He was very rushed. And for a guy that's not rushed a lot, you could tell that he's young. And he had another good response in that press conference, too. Somebody had asked if maybe Martin relying on his fastball more was because he had lost his composure. And A.J. Hinch was like, no, man, fastballs are still cool. It's just because we throw a lot of breaking stuff doesn't mean that fastballs aren't still cool.
Next headline, for the first time this season, the Bucks have lost three games in a row, falling to the Raptors in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. This was in Milwaukee, 105-99. We got to get Drake's take on this huge win by the Raptors.
In the whole world, look around you. Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. Look around at the square. I promise you right now, we did this. Doesn't matter what anybody says. They can say it's disrespectful. They can say it's this and that. And that. Everybody's within the rules. Everybody's doing their thing. All we are is proud and passionate. We are like a college sports team. The Toronto Raptors are a college sports team. I promise you. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the
chance to win at home.
This is bad for international relations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad look for Canada. Usually Canada can kind of claim superiority over a few things with us just because they're like, oh, hey, we don't pollute, eh? Well, like, I mean, yeah, you have very little industry. You'd love to pollute more as much as we do. But this is Toronto would be lovable right now if it weren't for Drake. Like, they're the exact opposite of what they should be. The Raptors should be somebody that the league is ready to embrace. Well, look at this. Scrappy underdogs, they've always had this bad luck or bad performances in the playoffs.
They've been so
close.
They're
getting it done versus the probable MVP of the league. Kawhi Leonard is shutting down Antetokounmpo. Like, and instead, we're all focused on how annoying Drake is. And I've had it up to here. The really frustrating thing is that Drake will get zero comeuppance from this. It won't hurt his record sales. It won't hurt his popularity in any other NBA city, largely.
He'll be mercilessly made fun of if the Raptors don't win the finals, I think. I think if the Raptors go up against the Warriors, he's going to be doing more of this, and it will be exposed on a higher level than it's being exposed right now.
He already gets made fun of a lot for it, but it's kind of like, all right, he's still Drake. You know, like you're not gonna hurt his music or material success. He's sitting in the throne there, and there's not a lot you can do other than he looks on the sideline like he looks like the little rich kid who gets away with it because he knows his daddy will get him out of anything. Like he knows that he's like the little kid from Brewster's Millions or something. And I think he thinks that the players like him a lot more than they actually do, but the players can get something from him, so they just leave it alone. That's about where Drake is right now.
I can't kill Drake if the Raptors lose to the Golden State Warriors. I can't do that, even if his antics are a little bit annoying.
I feel like he's going to get just absolutely roasted.
That bad?
Yes. I
really?
Yeah, because he's He's done big things in this series, but it's a series between Milwaukee and Toronto.
Milwaukee's been great this year until now.
They've both been great this year, but on a serious level, how many people are really like 100% into this series? Even
Not
though
many.
It's been a good series. It's been a really good series.
I'm into everything about Kawhi Leonard.
And are you?
Yeah. I really, he's fascinating to me because
he did the thing that most sports fans feel like is beyond the pale, which is he was cleared by San Antonio and he didn't play last year at all. And yet you watch him this year, and he has been the best player and one of the best teams in the league, and he has been unbelievably clutch. What do you do with that?
I don't so easily and casually dismiss his actual injury concerns the way the rest of the world seems to do. So there's that. And because like the Raptors have had to manage his injury situation too. So there's that. And two is just flat out whatever was going on in San Antonio that led to the current situation – I don't care when he's on a basketball court, man, he's incredible. He's single-handedly winning this series because yes. They said, hey, Kawhi, why don't you just go ahead and slow down and Antetokounmpo. Interest. I don't want the Texans to give him a multi-year deal. We already have our one beloved JJ Watt, who is our getting older defensive lineman that's making good money. We don't need two of those guys. If it was Gerald McCoy like 2 years from now and you could get him on like a 2 or 3 year deal for just a few million a year, then I'd say, okay, yeah, bring on another older guy. But I think Gerald McCoy looks like he's gonna get, I would guess, a 3 year deal, and almost all of it is because his personality is different than Ndamukong Suh. I think that people probably look at those two as interchangeable in some respects as far as like what quality of player they are at this point in their career. But Ndamukong Suh last year, nobody really trusted him, and he got a one-year deal. I think Gerald McCoy gets a several-year deal.
Well, the Colts are interested in him too. That's what concerns me, because the Colts have a similar amount of cap space to the Texans, but they are probably missing as much star power on defense as the Texans have.
Well, that's what they're... I know Darius Leonard was an all-pro, but I still think he has more to prove. You know, can he stay at that level? When you look at the Colts' defense, it's generally pretty solid, but Paul's right. They don't have a lot of star power at all across that defense, and McCoy would be a missing piece for that team.
Yeah.
That would scare me. Now, it sounds like the Browns are the favorites to sign him, and I base that not only on them getting the first visit, but people were initially pointing out the Browns Monday when Gerald McCoy was first cut by Tampa Bay. So I could see that, and that will only continue all this hype the Browns are getting.
Players got to back off a little bit on getting excited about the Browns. If Gerald McCoy's thinking about, like, hey, I'm going to go up to Cleveland, a historically awful franchise that messes good things up, you can't look at the roster on paper without forgetting exactly what's going on with the fact that they have a head coach that nobody knows a damn thing about in Freddie Kitchens. Maybe it turns out, maybe he's the next freaking Bill Walsh. Or maybe he's the next Joe Walsh. I could go either way on this because he's kind of got some Joe Walsh tendencies to him. So I think that Gerald McCoy needs to be very careful when he thinks about, oh, yeah, hey, Cleveland Browns, they're the young up-and-coming franchise with all these stud names. This might be a complete train wreck.
Mad Radio on a Friday on Sports Radio 610. Coming up at 7 o'clock, I am going to give you guys on a Friday the five most important Houston Texans that are not named Watts, Watson, Clowney, or Hopkins. We will run down the top five coming up at 7 o'clock. Time now for Positive Paul on a Friday.
Well, let's piggyback off of where we were talking about the Eastern Conference Finals between the Toronto Raptors and, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks. Drake, we heard his reaction after the fact. I think we should hear Drake's reaction again because it is honestly nice to hear a fan who's so happy about the team that he roots for.
The whole world, look around, look around. around you. Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. Look around at the square. I promise you right now, we did this. Doesn't matter what anybody says. They can say it's disrespectful. They can say it's this and that. Everybody's within the rules. Everybody's doing their thing. All we are is proud and passionate. We are like a college sports team. The Toronto Raptors are a college sports team. I promise you. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the
NBA Finals. A chance to win at home.
That was a very exciting drink.
Sounds like a rap to an extent. I mean, at first, it really sounded like he was about to drop some bars there. He's just really an excited fan.
One thing I've learned about rappers is, like, they never sound like they're not rapping. Like, there is a certain, the good rappers, I know this just from having conversations with Bun B, they just naturally speak with such rhythm and kind of piece together everything, almost like they're in stanzas. Yeah, it's impressive. Very impressive.
Drake celebrates one way. Meanwhile, Kawhi Leonard celebrates things an entirely different way.
Kawhi, it took chipping away at a double-digit deficit, but where did your team find the advantage in the final minutes?
We made shots and got stops on the defensive end. We got to limit them to one shot. They're a great offensive rebounding team, great offensive team. We can't get them two or three looks at the basket.
If a series doesn't start until somebody wins on the road, it started tonight, but how do you beat the Bucks four times in a row?
I don't know. I haven't done it. We're taking it one game at a time, and, you know, I'm just excited that we got the win tonight.
With one win away until a trip to the NBA Finals, what's this team's mentality with history on the line?
I mean, I haven't even gotten in the locker room yet. We just finished the game. But, yeah. I mean, we wanted to come out here, get the win. We weathered the storm early, and I'm going to see what we're going to be talking about in the locker room.
Congratulations, Kawhi. Yeah.
He is such a robot.
So he'll find out what the mentality is.
What's the mentality? Did she reference, like, with history on the line or something? Like, she think, like, that's the question you ask for Drake. Drake would come up with something pretty good. But Kawhi's like, oh, what do you mean? I'm going to frame this. What am I, Hister?
He does have the entire pressure of a country on his back.
I mean, he does.
I mean, this is a North American country that rarely does well in a sport that's dominated by Americans, much like they don't do well in hockey either.
It's sport not played on ice, and they're typically out of their element.
They're not good at any of the real sports. Sports where they have to play American teams.
Are they good at any of the real sports?
Well, let's see. The Blue Jays, the Raptors. There's no NFL team in Toronto.
Yeah. They're good at Canadian football.
The Maple Leafs disgracefully lost to the Bruins.
They're better at Canadian football than we are. But they don't have 12 defenders. That's hard.
They have a limit on the amount of American players that each team can have.
That's why they're good at it. if we took one of our teams and only brought six of our Americans up with it, we'd have a hard time.
It does seem like they've cultivated a really cool atmosphere there with that whole Jurassic Park thing and all the fans. And they've come so close the last couple of years, but they've been just sort of like put down by the older brother in LeBron James. But now finally the coast has been cleared for Toronto and they're finally taking advantage.
Is there any chance at all that Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto?
I actually think there is a small chance.
They've got this Kawhi and Dine campaign going on in Toronto where these restaurants put a sticker on their window, and that means that Kawhi Leonard can eat there for free. So, like, anywhere Kawhi... Because Kawhi, remember when he's in San Antonio, had his Wingstop endorsement, and he was notorious for, like, utilizing it heavily.
A lot.
Heavily, because he's very frugal. So, yeah, he can eat wherever he wants. Somebody's going to give him a $1 million condo.
There you go. Last weekend, we had a fight that lived up to one man's boast. Deontay Wilder, who said he wanted to kill a man in the ring, essentially did that to Dominic Brazil. Might have pronounced that incorrectly, but gets a first-round knockout. Well, guess who was there in attendance for that? First off, Deshaun Watson. Also in attendance with Deshaun Watson, Jalen Ramsey, as the weird dynamic between Jalen Ramsey and the city of Houston and possibly the Houston Texans continues. Mm. Because it seems like he has a relationship of sorts with Deshaun Watson. Good job, Deshaun Watson. You want to make your enemies your friends. Also, like DeAndre Hopkins on that front. And I was scrolling across Texans Reddit yesterday. Ooh. Texans Reddit finds a picture of Jalen Ramsey. I guess he's working out with Leonard Fournette. Apparently, Jalen Ramsey's in Houston or something right now.
Hot damn.
Maybe, just maybe, Jalen Ramsey wants to be a member of the Houston Texans down the road. If only there was no such thing as a franchise tag.
That would be, well, the problem is, like, Jalen Ramsey's already disgruntled, and Tom Coughlin doesn't seem to be his biggest fan, or at least as much of a fan as Tom Coughlin should be of his best player. But Jalen Ramsey also has two of his former teammates in the secondary right now. I think Brian Game, the sly move is he's paving the way for Jalen Ramsey to come here, feel very comfortable, and just like
fit the Texans right in. Have two.
What
members.
Did I say?
Sorry, I thought you meant the other way, but yeah, they have Colvin, they've got DeShaun Gibson.
Did I say the Jaguars?
No. You didn't say anything unclear. I just wasn't 100% sure
could
what you meant.
Could you guys see Jalen Ramsey on another team? Because as much as I think Tom Coughlin might be annoyed by some of Jalen Ramsey's shenanigans or whatever going on in the locker room this past season, why would they get rid of him, especially when there's such thing as a franchise tag?
Because Jalen is stubborn in a good way. Like in a very, I'm not saying that like stubborn or selfish or anything like that. I think Jalen Ramsey believes what he believes, and if he feels like he's been wronged or he just wants to like exhibit or exert his independence, I think he does it.
So he'd pull a Le'Veon Bell if he got tagged,
maybe? Without it even being like as much about getting the amount of money, but it would be more about him controlling where he wants to go. I could see him holding out.
They would trade him if he was unbearable, no pun intended.
Yeah.
If he was like driving people crazy, not showing up to workouts, like has been an issue this offseason, and if Tom Coughlin just said, you know what, enough's enough. But
And he would hold out. And he would make it really uncomfortable. He'd make it really public.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be a great fit in Houston. Personality issues aside,
notice I'm going to be very deferential to Jalen Ramsey because I expect him to one day play for the Texans.
Aaron Rodgers is Mike's favorite human being and is Mike's hero as well. Well, last night at the Bucks Raptors game, Aaron Rodgers completely failed and a total fraud move was asked by his teammate David Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari stood up and chugged a beer.
Points across the court to Aaron Rodgers to make him chug a beer.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, he nursed that beer, and it was pathetic.
But it looked like he was really trying to chug.
He was trying.
Yeah. And he didn't even get it halfway done.
Listen.
Now, he tweeted this morning, make it scotch next time. Last night. That's not an acceptable
make
answer.
It scotch?
Not especially an acceptable like answer. That, yeah. What a fraud. This guy is not a man of the people like Tom Brady, who would have destroyed him in this chugging contest, much like his NFL career and his NFL skill set crushes Aaron Rodgers.
Brady definitely would have won, but Aaron Rodgers, the greatest quarterback of all time, is basically standing up for responsible, calm, slow drinking.
Next time, just make it a Glenlivet next time. Aged 50 years, and I'll sip it casually. Aaron Rodgers, you're so good.
He seems like he's a man of the people.
Yeah. This is probably why. This is the reason that he has the issues with his family. He probably had a family get together once, and they had like Budweisers in the fridge. And he's like, no, I'll have your finest 100-year-old scotch. And they're like, we don't do that, Aaron. And then he threw a hissy fit, and they never talked to them again.
There's nobody who would be worse in a beer chugging competition than I would be. I'd be horrible at that.
It's not that hard, though.
I don't chug
when
anything.
They weren't drinking it from like a can.
It was a plastic
can.
Cup, yeah.
It was a plastic cup. Like, that's pretty easy to do.
It is actually, because I won a lot of competitions in college. I'm pretty damn impressive at it, if I do say so myself. I've never actually been beat.
Not surprising.
But you do have to, like, if you want to get good at it, you got to practice with water. And you got to learn how to, like, open your... You're not swallowing. You pour it down your throat.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's hard to do. It's like a learned skill. Once you learn it, you can pour it down. Yeah.
One last thing, and this one just makes me excited. One of the best video games ever was one that came out in about 2002, 2003. It was a Star Wars video game. It's like a Star Wars role-player game called Knights of the Old Republic. Well, apparently, there is a movie based off of this game in the works from Disney, which would be awesome, and people have been asking for this for a really, 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 really long time. Darth Malak Bastila, anyone who remembers that video game, shout out. It's a great game.
For some reason, I've never heard of this video game.
Knights of the Old Republic. It was an awesome, awesome, awesome game. I cannot get over how good it was.
What are you doing? Are you like rescuing a princess or something? What do you do?
Basically, you are just this random dude that wakes up and eventually, spoiler alert, you find out that you were a Sith Lord, like this really super powerful dark Jedi that got knocked out. And then all of your powers come back to you slowly, and yeah, you have to save the universe.
Oh, hey, quick bounce off of Positive Paul. At your recommendation, I started watching Barry on HBO.
Fantastic,
yeah,
right?
Really good. Really good. Yeah.
Bill Hader, anything that he touches, I trust. Yeah. And Bill Hader does a fantastic job both being the lead actor in this show, but also just creating the show, too. Really good show.
I'm just fascinated with his whole look, too. his face and everything. I guess sometimes I just watch him like, I can't figure this dude's face out at all. It's fascinating. It's not like, he's not ugly, but he's just the most unique face, and he uses it so well. I mean, like, he's such a good comedic actor.
Mad Radio on a Friday, we're going to get you into this holiday weekend. Coming up at the top of the hour, I'm going to give you the five most important Houston Texans that are not named Watson, Watt, Clowney, or Hopkins. This is Mad Radio.